please stand with me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so this is our first meeting of the month, December 13th. And I think we'll start off the meeting. It really saddens me to announce that we have a former port employee who passed away. And Malachi Gay passed away. And I know a lot of you probably worked with Malachi over the years on the haul out. I just had lunch with my mom and dad, and we were both, all three of us were talking about Malachi. He was kind. He was excellent at what he did, and it really, really saddened me. So I wanted to take just a moment to recognize Mal. Let's take a moment of silence, and then we'll continue on with the meeting. Thank you. Okay, so moving into the agenda. Do we have changes to the agendas today at all?
Yeah, I noticed in the last meeting minutes we were going to have a thing talking about the Western Washington University study, and I'd like to add that to the agenda so we can get a discussion started about that.
Okay.
E?
All right.
And I think one other addition, item F.
Okay.
Oh boy.
It's going to be a long day.
Drag it out the
which
last.
Is open letter to the community, essentially selection of a commissioner to work with staff to develop an open letter regarding the tone and tenor of community discourse.
Okay. Got it. And, all right, we have a motion for the consent agenda.
Yeah, make a motion.
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public comments not related to the agenda.
I'm here.
Ernie.
Oh, wait.
Oop.
Did we have somebody approve the
agenda?
Yeah.
I don't believe so. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Thank
aye.
You.
Aye. Ernie?
Shall I stand up or may I remain seated?
You can stay seated.
Bless your heart. First of all, I'd like to thank Commissioner Kleinfelter for his service to the community, particularly because it's on his watch that we got the inventory and comprehensive view of capital requirements, and yes, it's just important that that happened.
Yeah.
And since it had not happened before his term of service, I particularly want to thank him.
Yeah.
We,
why don't we just take a moment? I was going to wait until my comments are. Let's give him a round of applause. For him.
Secondly, I want to say something that should be obvious, but I'm going to say it out loud, and you can just all think I'm a geezer droning on. But I'd like to speak in defense of markets as being the quantified sum expression of the choices and behaviors and outcomes of all the people participating in that market. And in that light, I would like to support the notion that the Kidder-Matthews study done in 2006 should be updated to give us a well-documented account of what the market for ports in the region is like, what it's doing, with numbers attached. The reason I think that's important is that I think future choices will be made within the context of that market. You know, they are being made presently now. You can take a look at the vacancy rate in the yard. For some reason, there are not that many people here and they are elsewhere. There are some business transactions that took place over the last 6 months that didn't take place and they've moved on. Once again, those are choices that happened in the context of the market. If it is proposed that rates at this port be two or three times what are extant in the rest of the market in the region, some people will move on. You know, the most mobile ones, our customers and the haul out customer, they're gonna make a choice based on price often. Some of us are kind of planted here, and I'm one of them. And we'll find a way to deal with it as long as we can. But another thing that'll happen, aside from specific short-term sales, is that if you develop a set of fees two or three times market rate, both long-term investors and well-informed bankers will choose to put their money elsewhere. And I'm not indifferent to the fact that we've got a capital, and thank you, I'm not being sarcastic, thank you. We now have a view of what needs to be done. But outside of those of us who make live here, the market's indifferent to those needs. It simply wants to know what we're going to charge. And that places a limit on at least that element of how we can raise money for the rest of the capital plan. There are other ways, I'm sure you guys will discover them over time. John, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ernie. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Anybody else? Okay, moving on. Sorry, Bertram, didn't see any yet.
I would like to also comment about Brad Kleinfeld first by saying that if, as somebody who's come to this meeting for almost 15 years pointing out the problems with the previous administration, and the commission would always circle its wagons and protect the administration, Brad Kleinfeld really deserves credit for having taken a strong stand. Had we listened to him and listened to the outside people before, we wouldn't have been in this mess we're in now. Secondly, I want to say that when I looked at the budget, what was glaring to me was that in the proposed rates for the Bohemia, there was no increase or the comments about the ramp fees. And the only reason I bring that up is because, and it's a shame that I'm the one that had to point this out, that there were only 360 permanent annual passes today, where every year it's been 520. Well, those 155 people, if they haven't stopped voting, they have been paying $10. And if they used it 10 times, then that would make up, that will equal the $59,000 that you have. There is a discrepancy here. And this really needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed so that those 155 people go back to buying a $100 pass, so that you really will see an increase, because 155 is $15,000. And that's a big chunk of change. So you have to incentivize them by raising the ramp rates, by putting a sign there that says no trespassing, $100 fine unless you pay for the ramp fee. There, Tacoma Bridge, Narrow Bridge, has an electronic thing to measure when people violate. Somehow the commission shouldn't be swept under the table when you're looking at advancing the rates for the Bohaven. You should be looking at solving this problem. It's big money. I mean, it's probably $30,000,
$40,000. Thanks.
Ann?
Hi. I'm Ann. And I have a name tag, because yesterday I had the opportunity to go to get Governor Jay Inslee's Maritime Innovation Advisory Council. And it took place in Seattle. And then tomorrow they'll be having one in Hadlock as an outreach. But it was co-chaired by representatives, and then they've got about a 20-member council from other ports and maritime trades, other cities, counties from throughout Washington State. And the awesome news is that their 2017 economic impact study for Washington clearly shows that the maritime industry is very strong. It's a cornerstone of Washington's economy. It provides family wage jobs, real opportunities. It's growing like crazy. The working waterfronts are strong sources of technological innovation. They named, even though no one from our port was there business-wise or staff-wise, except for a couple of us, they named a couple of businesses from our port that have been throughout history leading in innovation, like Craftsman United, like Russell Brown's business, contributing towards innovation that benefits our whole state, the University of Washington, all kinds of educators were there. We right now it's at $17.1 billion in wages going to maritime trades. But I have a pile of letters in front of me that from people that work in this port and that are like the opposite of all this good news that I heard.
I'm going to give you about 60 seconds,
I'm not
going to
read all these letters, but it just points to, you know, that we're losing businesses and we're losing customers here, but in the face of our economy, we shouldn't be. And then I just want to say one more word. I looked back in the newspaper, and I was just handed this today by somebody, and it says that Sam was quoted in here saying, "It's not the rates that impact business and customers. It's more, the most important thing to have here in our port is scheduling. And it's not the rates that impact businesses and customers. It's more important to have effective, reliable scheduling." So.
Pam, I got to catch up. You're outside of 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Any other comments? Okay, moving on. Second reading, we have nothing. First reading, we have nothing. We are at Part 7, regular business, and we're up to labor agreement.
Great. So the commission has in front of them the agreement between Teamsters Local 589, which is the bargaining unit that is represents our portion of our port employees, and this is a tentative agreement that was reached after months of meetings and bargaining with representatives from both port staff and the local Teamsters. They have the bargaining unit has ratified the contracts as they have voted affirmatively for this, and so should the council so choose to adopt this, we'll receive signature and be ready for implementation as of January 1st of 2018.
Comments?
I'm good with it.
Yeah. Just so the audience is aware, we did have a public and executive session on this on December 6th, so we have gone through this already. And so I'll make a motion that we adopt this. Is this a resolution that we're adopting, or is this just the agreement?
I think it's just the agreement.
That we adopt this as written.
Yeah, I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, moving on to the organizational chart.
This is...
Let me make a comment. Nice job negotiating this,
yeah,
by the way. I think both you and everybody that was involved with that did an excellent job in negotiating this.
Thank you for that recognition. Yeah. I very much like to recognize the staff that participated in representing their bargaining unit, and that was David Johnson, Sean Smith, and Chuck Falls were there. And so really believe that we came out not only with a good contract, but even strengthened relationships with our working
Thank you.
The next item is related to the contract that you just approved, and that is the update of the organizational chart. Commissioner's purview to approve the organizational chart for the organization. As I briefed you in executive session, this change in the organization chart does not change the number of FTEs for the organization. Rather, it does see the movement of a couple positions. One, the first being that the managers for the various lines of businesses and services, so the yard business manager that oversees both the intake of the marinas and or intake of the yard and the management of the marinas, and our maintenance manager that. They will be recognized as exempt employees under this contract. We will have some transition time in there because we have people that are have notified us that they will be retiring, so there'll be some transition. That exempt status will not become effective immediately as of January 1st. We will be kind of, you know, moving people in and out. But those positions at the end of the day in this contract will be recognized as managers and exempted from the bargaining unit. The position that we had previously named as a customer service manager has been reclassified as a customer service representative 2 and will go back into the bargaining unit and be a representative position. And again, both sides are in agreement about this, and it is represented in the contract, and so asking for approval by the commission of the organization to reflect those changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a very good change. We have managers of the maintenance in the yard and the business manager now no longer subject to the overtime and restrictions that the bargaining unit has, and as Schmelick says, now we have the opportunity to work them like a rented mule.
He's a lawyer, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, it's really good. It gives him ownership, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, right.
I think it's logical.
Yeah, I make a motion we get adopt this organization charge.
I'll second that.
Okay. Yes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Fantastic.
Moving on to C, warrant and RV rate. We will not go through that check.
Mr. England, cue this up.
So this is just a draft of the warrant and RV rates. This has to actually, these are basically when we put the CPI plus 1% applied to the rates. This is kind of where we came out at approximately. They're going to have to be entered into the billing system because there's going to be some nuance slight change to some of these and make sure the formulation goes through. So we'll publish this in a, we'll actually have a rate sheet that you'll see, which you're more familiar with, but we put this into a spreadsheet just in the form so you guys can see if that basically the draft and approximately where they're gonna fall. I think that the, I think one of the things, don't, when we talk about rates, and I take to heart what Ernie is saying and other people have said, and I think the devil gets into details on these things too when you look at specific buying decisions. And I've never heard Sam ever say that rates weren't a critical component of someone's buying decision. So, but they look into the overall approach to how people make a buying decision. And then I guess the thing is, how do we position ourselves within the market? Where do we feel it's a fair value? And also, how do we recover enough revenue to reinvest in these assets? I think it's important too, is like, even when we talk about, one of the things I talked about with a lot of the customers all through my professional career is that, look, you know, as long, especially in the public service, when you reinvest that money, especially if you're sort of a resident or you're somebody that's been a consistent customer over years, you know, people don't like to see the rates increase, but if they see value for that, and sometimes, you know, like I talked about in other places too, where I said, I have to increase the rates up front, and you should see some additional value in order for us to be fiduciary, have some fiduciary responsibility. And then you have to also make sure they have to see some of the result. They do have to see results ultimately, or you are going to get further backlash if you try to keep escalating rates over time. But I think that positioning ourselves the way we are on the mortgage and RVs, we didn't take the RV rates, we're even looking at some of the nuance because we're also really monitoring much more closely what our occupancy is on every day and monthly, and trying to look for seasonal. We're looking for specific barriers for why people don't want to rent certain spots potentially. You know, why is there a certain area? Or can we charge a premium because people are more than happy to pay for other areas like the front row with RVs. But we are really sensitive to the rates, and we also are trying to make sure that our rates, you're somehow comparing apples to apples from the buyer's perspective. And it isn't necessarily that simple and easy even for some of these people to go and they look at different rates from different areas. You know, it doesn't include leasehold tax, or does it not include leasehold tax? So there's some of these things that we just have to identify, but this is kind of the draft of what the slate of rates are going to be. We're going to come back, and then we're seeking approval from the commission to move forward with this, but we'll give you there'll be a final version of this that we'll be releasing for January 1.
I have a real problem with not seeing 2017 next to 2018. How do I know what's going on here unless I got the column next to it?
Okay.
You can do that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see that.
Sure.
And I think what we'll do in the future is
We will do both for the version that we put in front of you so that you always see the historical.
That's what I was just trying to do on my phone, was call up the 2728, so.
Sure, you can do that.
I can't do it quick enough, so.
No, and it's, the other thing is, let's just say there's gonna be some, when we look at the billing system, there's gotta be some adjustments, because it doesn't, we don't wanna make it accessory onerous, whether we round down slightly or round up, that's what we have to take a look at.
Yeah, there's always a, I know when you plug things into the software, you just have to make sure that it calculates the same way, and sometimes it's a few pennies off here.
So schedule-wise, we're not adopting anything today, right, on these rates? We're gonna look at this again?
This is a question of a process. The rates were inherent. We are not adjusting, we are not proposing a new rate schedule, but rather a inflationary adjustment to them. Believe that you did that with the adoption of the budget. If you would like to give us a different direction, staff stands ready to implement that. However, we would like to have everything in ready to go for the January 1st. So we're ready to implement them. Believe that you gave us that authority by adopting the budget. If you'd like to give us a different direction, you can do that.
Okay. Yeah, we're gonna have it's gonna be done in January, I guess. Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Well, we would be implementing them as of January. Right. Yes. So we're going to go ahead and proceed with the direction that was inherent in adopting of the budget, unless you give us different direction.
In other words, we're going unless we decide to change it, and
exactly.
We're going to be presented with some other options in January, right? We're going to be presented with this in relation to 2017.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be for information and not approval. Mm-hmm.
They're hoping for approval today.
Yeah.
On this. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We actually believe that staff was given approval by the adoption of the budget, and but if the commission would choose to give us different direction, you can do that. Otherwise, we feel authorized to move forward with the implementation. So that's the question. Do you want us to move forward with implementation, or do you want to have a different explicit approval of the rate structure sometime in January?
So then the only other question I have is, we can change rates anytime we want.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So why is it 12-1, or why is it January 1st that we have to get this sorted out? Why not do this?
Historically, like courts, you know, you say you roll it out for January 1st.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And then in the budget, that's kind of basically what your budget is supposed to be. 365 days. Like last year, you know, we had a delay in terms of actually adopting it, and it affects, you know, the budget potentially, depending on how long we go.
And we gave notice, 30-day notice to our tenants with their bills that went out.
Okay. My only comment is, if we were going to make a change, I would like to leave the 1%. I think that's erroneous to do the CPI plus 1%. That's me personally.
Yeah. And you know, we have examples all through the ports where that's what they've been doing, and they've been successful. Like I think Everett or Edmonds uses that.
Right.
You know, and there's some other ports too. And basically they're doing it just to keep afloat of inflation.
Right.
And And I would think that what would be a good thing to do, kind of going back to Ernie's suggestion, is that this is what was approved in the budget. We should, since everyone else is going to be rolling their rates out at the first of the year, we should leave it like this, get the sheet where we compare last year's to this year's, and then also compare other ports. Because like Ernie said, you know, the market is what the market is. And so see what this rate adjustment that we did, see how that situates us in the market that we're living in, and then take a look at that in January. I mean, I assume that other ports will have theirs rolled out too, right?
Yeah, basically we have, you know, we went through all the ports, and they all did basically CPI plus 1%, with the exception of Friday Harbor, did CPI, and Anacortes, I think, did CPI.
Mm-hmm.
And then, there was others that actually increased it substantially more.
Polsbo increased theirs by 7%,
which we did last year.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's kind of the direction, I think, and some, and yeah, Roche Harbor did 11% private sector.
But we can certainly give an update, and there are a few that, that it is, they're kind of like us, they're adopting them right now. There are very few that, that adopt at different times in the year, so, but we can certainly update the commission after the beginning of the year once we get a chance to really look at where everybody's come out and report back to you, and if you want to make any adjustments at that point.
So just, I just want to be really clear. I don't like CPI plus one, and the main reason I don't is because we use CPI, which is based on Seattle. And Seattle is super expensive right now. We are not doing what Seattle's doing. I've said this before. Mm-hmm. And so it's my contention that, you know, the 1% is worth X amount of dollars. It's not a huge amount of money in relation to the budget, and yet, you know, it stabs the tenants a little bit more. And I think because, like, if you look at Clallam County, they don't use Seattle CPI. And so we use an inherently higher CPI. So I kind of question whether we need to add that 1% to it. And we can adopt and readjust down the road. I think that's an excellent idea to attach it to the market and look at this carefully, because we're all in the same boat in terms of what's going on behind us with lack of boats in the marina.
Well, I think that's a good point. What could happen is if we want CPI plus one every time, we may eventually get ahead of the curve. Well, we may not, but we may. But then I think that the check would be to do the comprehensive evaluation of all the rates around us to see if we are in fact getting ahead.
Yeah, of course, I'm just there doing CPI plus one. You know, initially when I reported out, we just looked at the high and low, which is kind of Edmonds, Port Angeles, and they're both in the CPI plus one, but then we did a little more robust and more in depth. And I think some of them, you know, like Paulsville or other people, they, you know, they talk about their capital needs. You know, actually, I'll tell you what's even useful and what I probably, I'll send around and you should look at it, is the Port Commission meeting notes from Edmonds and Port Angeles, and look at the discussion amongst the commission and the staff and the commission's concerns about how are we going to be able to rebuild these facilities at these rates because we're not funding it. So they're in exactly, a lot of people are in the same situation that we are, and then it just depends on when they actually redevelop those assets. And it just doesn't seem to be getting any less expensive generally. But it is critical for some of the, and then also in some cases what they do is, which is, I would contend we have to do that here, whether we like it or not too, is you pool all your revenue to try to cover your capital needs, which are, they change over time. You know, so sometimes you're gonna be doing okay over here, but that helps fund other needs. But they specifically call out these, like at the Port of Edmonds, very interesting. They specifically talk about this, as well as up at Port Angeles, and it's the same dialogue.
So what I hear, a request from the commission, which we can bring back at the beginning of the year, is an update of our rate analysis, which we're kind of, you know, midway through, just waiting for some one, so we can bring that back in January and have you look at it at that point. Is that a fair summation of the direction?
Right, but you're wanting us to approve it today, even though we're going to look at it in January.
Yes.
Well, actually, we've already approved it.
We've approved it, yes,
We're just not changing anything today.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Right.
And then we'll look at it in January.
January. Exactly. Okay.
Great. In light of what Greg just said, you know, we're all sitting here competing against each other trying to get to the market rate, but if we're sitting here complaining about how we're going to rebuild our stuff and everyone else is saying the same thing, but I have to go this rate because my commission told me we had to be the chief, you know, where it's a race to the bottom.
Yeah.
And it really is.
Okay, moving on to D, October financials.
Right, so the October financials presented show we were just slightly ahead on revenues according to the budget and according to last year's revenues. As what has been, you know, true the last few months, the yard continues to be below that. And I highlighted the various areas. Primarily, it's the shipyard revenues is the largest chunk at like $64,000. Also, the 3% marine trades contribution that we've lost this year is almost $40,000. And then miscellaneous revenue for about $32,000. And that's, you know, that was basically a port tenant issue. And then also environmental cleanup. And just to date anyway, on environmental cleanup, we've had like $140. So I think that the yard crew is doing a lot better at just really watching the tenants and making sure that everybody's complying. That's just kind of an aside from the financial report. So we're about on target. And then just as a reminder too, you know, the fact that this was an adjusted mid-year budget based on, you know, the travel lift incident and the personnel issues that we had. We could not put the time in that we originally thought we could into building the business. So as a result, we're also then looking at expenditures. And again, it is more than the prior year, although it is what was budgeted. We're just about spot on with budget. A little over on fuel, but overall we're just about right. And you know, we're progressing in our works in progress, which includes the jetty, stormwater project, which is almost complete, but that doesn't show in October, of course, and the runway rehab project, which we're worked on. And then our cash increased slightly from September by about $150,000. You have any questions?
Pretty bleak.
I think one thing I would like to request is I would like to get these quicker. Mm-hmm. You know, we're 6 weeks after the end of October.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get it quicker?
Well, yeah, and, you know, we kind of had that conversation because I finished this on the 29th of November, but then we didn't have a meeting until now. So I wasn't sure whether to publish them early, give them to you, and then, you know, we put them out to the public during the meeting, or how you wanted to do it.
Okay.
You know, there is certain reconciliations that have to occur at the accounting level before I can go in and do my reconciliations. And the target would be for the second meeting of the month,
mm-hmm.
following the previous month for their activity. And for the most part, I've been able to do that except with, like, during budget time, and there's other circumstances. So that'll be definitely my aim.
Yeah.
Going forward. And my understanding is too that we might be able to get more timely information that isn't perhaps gone through the reconciliation process as rigorously, but that we can just get straight out of the accounting system that we use for the marina and the yard, and will actually be used for properties too. We are looking at that. We have a demo going on next week. So we're hoping to move forward on that. And that's one of the features we'll be able to take advantage of. So we might be able to give you more information. It might not be as complete, but it might be helpful.
I would like to note too in that we're part of it as we continue with our budgeting process and how we report out to the commission that we did have a mid-year check-in with this and adjusted our budget considerably given the events of the early part of the year. And so accordingly, we had adjusted our operating income expectations down, and we've already exceeded those substantially. We were conservative in that. Expect to see an additional increase of net operating income before depreciation that will put us in definitely in range of past year's performances. And I think that particularly it is important to keep a context for the performance of the organization, and certainly that I have of the pride in staff, that we were able to really take a lot that was thrown at us in the early part of the year, deal with those, still recover, still implement a lot of things, and we are still sitting at about $700,000 of net operating income at this point. Yes, we've had an eventful year, and staff has been very resilient and adaptive in the process. So I'd like to offer my thanks to them for that.
I'm good.
Yep. All right. Moving on to E. You're up, Steve.
Yeah.
Western Washington.
In the minutes from last meeting, we found that Sam said that she spoke with Western Washington University Center for Economic and Business Research about doing a market study for rates and leases. And she'd bring back a scope of work. And I guess that I kind of, you know, and I haven't had a chance to meet, I've met with some people individually, and there's a lot of concern about the lease rates and so on going forward, and there's just a huge amount of just questioning and uncertainty, and I think that I would like to start over and perform this rate study, and there's a couple out there. There's a Kidder Matthews, which to me is just like a real estate appraisal that says this is a rate. But then there's the Western Washington University one, which if I'm not mistaken, shows a lot more involved detail. For example, things like the carrying cost of the land that we have, and so what we have to have our target be, rather than just what the market will bear. And the reason I say that is because of Greg's comment earlier, is if everyone's trying to figure out how they can, you know, be a nickel cheaper and get the business away, you might be losing factor, but it really costs us this much to keep the doors open. And so all these other commissioners are saying, well, how are we going to keep the doors open if we keep going down on our rates? And so if I'm not mistaken, the Western Washington University study would identify elements like that that say, you know, you can only go down this far because then you're going to be losing money and having to subsidize it from something else. And so I'm thinking that In my mind, one of the best ways to get some certainty back into our leases and our marine trades would be to actually find a target. This is our target. Instead of an ambiguous thing, just say, you know, right out in the open, this is what we got to have and this is why. And if we have a real documented, accurate numbers that say this is why you have to have this because your stormwater costs so much money or whatever this is, then we'll know that if we go below it, we're doing it at our own peril and we have to take money from somewhere else. Or we'll know that this is what we have to have. And so how can we get that there? So I'm thinking that this is a pretty important study that I think would go a long way toward quelling a lot of anxiety. And I'd like to pursue going a little bit more forward on that.
What's expense?
Is that about, well,
go ahead. So two points of information. So I did reach out to both Kidder Matthews and look at the rent study that they had done previously, and they provided me with a rough estimate of $12,500 to update basically the rent study that they completed in 2006. And so that is looking at both market rents for land and buildings, and they use both a survey approach and the land times rate of return approach. They do not use a cost approach in their methodology, so they don't do that. What would you need to do in order to either build or replace the property in the current dollars? So that's one. $12,500 for update to Kidder Matthews. The estimate, I did speak with the Center for Economic Research and for Economic and Business Research, and they are estimating between $15,000 and $20,000, depending on the scope of work. And the factors that would really make a difference in that range are the number of scenarios that we would ask them to run, as well as the number of presentations or interfacing, basically them coming here to speak with the commissioners and do presentations. So that was their kind of thumbnail sketch. what they would do was would to develop a model in which they could run scenarios looking at our planning level estimates for capital projects for our existing business enterprises, and then looking at a couple other business scenarios in there, and they would run it in a what they call it a GAAP compliant modeling. So they use both accounting and economic models to do this, to really kind of bring it into the real world. And so we could work on developing a scope of work with them. I talked with them in broad terms of a generalized scope. And you know, the thumbnail is between 15 and 20 for that. So 12,500 for Kidder Matthews, between 15 and 20 for Western Washington University.
My opinion would be that the part that is included in the Western Washington study that's not in Kidder Matthews is probably the most important component. You know, it's easy as hell. We just make everything cheap enough so that everyone will come here and then we'll make all this money, except that we won't make enough to pay for keeping the boatyard open for another 10 years. And so we got to know how much of what our cost is of carrying this. And so I think that's one of the most important components, is to be able to have that information. And as far as the how many presentations to make, I'd suggest we just have one while we rent the auditorium to have it in, because we're going to be full of people.
They did tell me of other public agencies that they have worked on the kind of similar type of modelings, and they felt that there were similar types of questions. One was ferry system. You know, what is the actual cost of providing ferry services, as well as state parks, Washington State Park. So they felt very comfortable that this would be in their skills and abilities to provide this. I think the quote they put is that this is not hard. It's complicated, but it's not hard.
So is WPPA, they have any element in this? I mean, in regards to, you know, what other ports have done already, you know, as far as reinventing the wheel. I mean, has that been the subject been broached with those guys?
I think that would WPPA. I think the organization and that has done work on various elements of there is the help me out with this, Mr. England, the Northwest Marine Trades Association.
NMTA. They've done a number of different studies. The thing is, it comes down to some of the ports, whether they have marine terminals, what's the scope of work, do they want something really specific? I think that I think the thing is here is that I think what would really beneficial from looking, trying to incorporate both a little bit of what the Kidder Matthew methodologies, for example, or just typical valuations with Western Washington. So I think it would really be beneficial to actually all the tenants to try to generate some third party independent valuation and trust, where they can take a look at really what's out there, what everybody's being, we're all confronted with the same thing in a sense, right? We're all eating out of the same pot. So we should really, everybody should, I'd rather have everybody have an informed decision about what we're looking at too. So it's not like I'm using some strange methodology, let's say, when I go out. So I think there is a real benefit to that. There are some standardized, you know, yes, they do a lot of the same types of things. Just like when you get evaluations, you can go out to Jones Lang LaSalle or Kidder Matthews, anybody, and they can do that.
And so Paul Sorensen has done work in yes, and again, same type of things that, you know, the question that this port is facing is, we are not alone in this. We're not unique in this. It's really a significant change of public policy over the past few decades, where very expensive infrastructure was paid for by federal government and or state funding, and those funding sources have dwindled, if not completely evaporated. And so, you know, there are lots of people out there trying to look at this problem. So,
I think a couple things. I really don't think we need a study, myself personally. I mean, we're all, one, it doesn't take much to get online, set up a matrix, and come up with a rate study of what's going on. And two, you have to factor in the private industry. I mean, like Ernie is saying, if I'm going on an airplane ride, if I'm going whale watching, if I'm doing whatever, I'm going to figure out what's the best value for my dollar. I'm not going to waste my money. And I'm not going to go to Port Townsend because they feel like, well, we got to charge for our infrastructure, so we're going to charge 50% more because we've got to charge for infrastructure. I'm not going to go there. So it's really important that I think we keep our eye on the ball more in the sense of, you know, there are two rates here. There is the rate that we could charge if we were really going to charge something for our infrastructure, and there's the rate that we can charge. And the rate that we can charge really applies also to value-added services to that product. Mm-hmm. And I think my personal opinion is we're really at a disadvantage here. I mean, we are geographically isolated on the peninsula. So if I own a boat, I'm in Seattle, and I'm not talking about moorage, but I'm talking about hauling out. If I want to go haul out, I got to really know why I'm going to come to PT to do that, because I mean, there's the shipwright aspect, but there's also the transportation aspect of myself personally. And so I think we have to take a really careful look at, you know, and I question whether a study is adequately going to do that, because I don't want to get into just a comparing apples, because there's lots of oranges out there as well. And so I'm not sure I want to diving into spending another $15,000 or $20,000 on a study is really going to get us where we want to go. I guess it's my.
I think that not knowing what your break-even point is, I think is a horrible mistake. Because if you just go along saying, well, in order to get the business, we got to charge this rate because everyone else is charging this rate.
Yeah.
But we're losing $20 every time we charge that rate. Then it's just prolonging the slow death. When we can figure out what that rate needs to be, that we don't have ourselves digging it deeper into a hole, then we can figure out what Greg's value things are. We market value and charge the rate that we need to, so we don't go bankrupt, and still get people here because they're seeing the whole value. Whereas right now people say, oh, that rate there is lower, you know, like whatever storage rate, but they don't take into factor all the other things that go along with it, you know. You're doing your own work, or you have. So I think that before we can even start realistically talking about it, we need to know more than just a back of the napkin, broad. You know, we have so many acres, and it costs us all this capital. We need to know pretty more granularly how much it really costs us to run this place, so that we can act, so we can intelligently make a decision rather than just trying to make it. You know, this is what will make people come here, even though we're losing money. It's like the car salesman said, you know, I lose money in every car, so I'm going to make it up in volume.
Right.
We can't do that.
Yeah. Well, I think too, you need to add, and this is kind of retreat discussion too, I get that. But I think it's, you know, and Greg, you've done a lot of the work in terms of understanding now what it takes to keep the doors open in this place from a long-term perspective.
Yeah.
I would just argue that we need to discuss and decide what we put into the break-even basket, i.e., okay, are we going to put in the entire breakwater around Boathaven? There's an expense to that, and it's, I mean, we've been eating up the value of that over the last 50 plus years, right? So the breakwater's slowly failing. Well, how do we know that we're not going to have some big golden pot show up, i.e. the federal government, to help us with that? And do we in fact plan not for that, or do we plan for that golden pot in the end of the picture? So you see what I'm saying? If you don't plan for that, you're gonna add that into your break-even cost. And that's gonna be an issue that I think we need to discuss, what items we actually put into the break-even pot. Like just cost of sales, or is it the full meal deal of the entire plan?
You know, I'm not really thinking that I could count on a golden pot.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, I understand both your points in terms of what you're trying to say, and I do think that we're trying to identify all the different barriers potentially, let's say if we're doing business in Port Townsend or anywhere for that matter, and how do you become competitive. There are some things where there might be an actual dollar, and we could incrementally add all these things up, and then you get this, you know, you might get too high of a number where you go, that does make sense. There's just different ways to absorb it and or to deal with the different barriers. You know, just for example, transportation coming over here. You know, we've been reaching out to a number of customers directly, talking to them and trying to assess, you know, how are we going to build business? What is the value proposition? And I don't know that I would quite, I believe that geographically for vessels to be able to come Port Townsend, it's actually Port Townsend, that shouldn't be a huge barrier. It actually might be a little bit of a benefit compared to some of our competition. It just depends who, like if it's a 5-hour transit to go up to Bellingham or north, and it's 2 hours over here from the Seattle area, right, there's a travel cost, but then how do you get back? But they got to get back from that, from up there too, but they might say, well, I go up. There's some of these things are perception, like we're an hour from the ferry from Seattle. So like for me, you look at the dray cost, this is nothing. In fact, it was just brought up at this real estate seminar. They talked about it, they go, what, you know, there's perceived barriers in people's heads. And they're not real barriers, actually, but they just have these things. So I think the thing is to really to outline going forward, we have to really talk about our value proposition, which goes to what you're representing, and how do we market and sell, as well as I'm concerned that the tenants, especially, which are and attracting new business. I'm not so worried about attracting people not from Port Townsend, but I am concerned about people that have been long-term tenants here and they've built a business model around a cost structure. And if you deviate from that cost structure, you better have a good reason, you better sit down and go over it and try to explain it to each and every one of them. And I think that sometimes having a third party is an important tool. I also think that when you look at the value and having somebody looking at what is, a lot of times people, they limit what the their analysis is so small that there's no carrying, that they don't know really truly what their costs are.
Yeah.
They conveniently forget there's this other major cost out there, right? Yeah. And that is extremely dangerous is from a sustainability standpoint, from a business perspective. So I'm just trying to think, you know, how do we bring together, I think, the port staff too, with our tenants in some objective way. So it's not like just us.
So this is in her purview in terms of the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your, you can decide.
Yes,
to spend this or not.
I would like to have
I'd like to have a degree
on this. Yes, I would like to make sure that.
You're being pretty quiet there, Mr.
Yes,
Commissioner.
You're being quiet.
Last.
Well, you guys don't want to know I'm a listener. I don't know what you're talking about, but I got to side with Steve on this, Pete.
Okay.
And I think that it's real important from a fiduciary responsibility, looking out long-term, not just next year. I think that it's important that you spend a little bit of resources and get some good solid foundation answers in regards to, you know, where are we at in reality. That's how I feel.
Okay.
I think I could help inform some other things, too, and going forward. Like, if we find that our carrying costs are high, we might identify things that we could shave, you know, or change or move or something like that. So I think it could be a double benefit to it.
Mm-hmm. So are we going to make a resolution then? Do we need to make a motion?
I think the question of if I am summarizing here is that the commission would like to proceed with, I'll put it in the form of a question. Would you like us to proceed with developing a scope of work with Western Washington University or Kidder Matthews or both?
I'm not really thinking that. I think that the Western, if I'm hearing it correctly, Western Washington will include the analysis for the rates. But I mean, that just goes in hand with the argument for the operating, for the overhead.
Yes, and I would say that they will check their kind of cost related computations against the market. It will not be a full rent survey as Kidder Matthews would do, but they will check whatever the proposed rates are, both for yard leases and more against the market. So
it seems to me you could plug each one what they have to offer for the value into some sort of matrix to make a decision on this and score it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there might be another one. I know that I've heard
which one's going to be the best value, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eric?
Yep.
He's nodding his head?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I recommend. is from that little exercise.
Oh, for the studies?
Yeah, to decide which one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I recommend.
Say that again? I didn't quite follow that.
Well, Eric's really good at this. He puts together these Mr. Matrix, you know, a square matrix.
The city matrix.
My suggestion is to...
Here's the pros.
There's the values these guys offer. Here's the values these guys offer. Plug in the matrix to see which one scores the highest.
Yeah.
We can bring that for our first meeting in January. Yeah.
Okay. And consider other universities. I know that I've heard from and I always get them confused, the one in Pullman. They have a similar thing that they do.
This one?
Yeah.
I think there's going to be some cougars in the audience that are offended at that.
Unfortunately, I'm from Idaho. But
what color is Idaho?
The other ones are the blue football field.
Yeah, I was going to say. I thought it was pink, but.
So anyway, yeah, you know, in other words, I think there's other universities that also do a similar thing through there, and you know, give them a run through and see if they have, oh, we just did that for so-and-so here. It'll be a bargain.
Okay, so I'll bring back Western Washington University, Kidder Matthews, and potentially another agency.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I mean, I'll add to the conversation here that in this study, I think the market is as important as the carrying cost.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding what the market is,
and just to,
and we're talking mortgage rates and yard rates, right, across the board, everything.
Yeah. Well, and lease rates.
Yes,
absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Quick one. What kind of time frame would that be expected to be produced in?
I think once we get a scope of work with probably Kidder Matthews would be a little quicker. Western Washington, that they thought they could turn this around in probably a month, you know, once we actually got them under contract.
Thank you. Pretty quick. Mm-hmm. Okay. Quick comment.
Sure. The discussion so far treats income from the various revenue streams that come into the port. Will the Western Washington study consider the ways in which money goes out?
Yes.
Which is to say personnel cost, contract cost, and other lines of revenue, the possible sale of buildings, and the possible master lease at the possibility of the Maritime Center coming up with a chunk of money. Those will all be considerations in the final product, what it suggests for lease rates, haul off rates, and late rates.
Consider cost, including seasonality of cost. I could add in sale of assets, see if that, and then I'm not quite sure. Sale of assets or leasing of assets. We can have that, add them to a scope work.
Yeah, I mean, it gets a little confusing, Ernie, because you're adding in a lot of variables to the picture.
Sure, absolutely, and I understand it's difficult,
right.
But to consider the hemorrhage as well as the input.
Right. Okay.
But as they said, it's not hard, it's complicated, but it's not hard.
All right, okay.
Before we move on, are you good? On the agenda we had that we were going into executive session, and you wanted that to end at 2:30 for the oath. Are we still going into executive session today?
Yes, we will be.
So I just want you all to keep that in mind.
Right.
That,
okay.
And how long were you planning on executive session?
Half an hour.
So if you wanted it to end by 2:30.
So we might need to extend the ending time, which I know that we have person come down for oath swearing, so. We have one more item in business, and then we can do staff updates very quickly. I think we've...
Okay.
So I'd say
you
let's...
You won't get done until 2:20 then, if you're going to do another item of business and then staff comments.
Oh, I don't think so. I think that we can be done in at most 10 minutes with... Because staff has told you a lot today. We don't have many other comments.
Well, we still have public comments, though.
That's true.
So you want to be, I'm confused, Jay, so you want to go through executive session and then bring in the county for swearing?
Yes.
So.
And that's, and they're coming in at 2:30?
2:30.
Yep.
That ain't gonna work.
No. So I would say we adjourn into executive session and then come back after the swearing in and finish the agenda with what we're doing.
Come back before the swearing in.
Yeah. Okay.
No. We'll do executive session now. We'll come back at 2:30. We'll finish that at 2:30. We'll do swearing in,
right,
and then we'll finish this agenda. Right. With
should we go to F though? That shouldn't be very long. And then we'll have all of the agenda, the regular business done.
All right. Then we'll do staff comments, public comments, and commissioner comments.
I'm looking over at attorneys to see if we're okay with process here.
So just to be clear, we're talking about completing the regular business agenda now and then going into executive session.
No, we're talking about doing the executive session now and then completing the regular business.
Item F being occurring prior to exec session.
Right. Mm-hmm. That, can we do that?
I think it might make more sense to do item F after executive session.
Why don't we start the executive session?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, if one more to come back for public comment, what time would that be?
2:30.
2:30.
Yeah. Okay, so we are going to adjourn into executive session for 30 minutes. The commission will be going into executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.10. Executive session for 30 minutes and may be followed by commission.
With no decisions. No decisions.
No, possible decisions. May or may not be decisions.
In open session.
Okay. Come back.